Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala. And Doc, we have been discussing for the last number of broadcasts really the theology, what we're calling the theology of biblical manhood. But it fits within a bigger context of our discussion that we're going back to now on how to help our families become spiritually healthy before the Lord. And we were looking at a number of things in terms of what a biblical theology of manhood looks like. And we've really come all the way down to four basic biblical principles that are key to relationships, especially marriage, but any relationship. And in our last broadcast, we looked at the first two. And in this broadcast, we want to complete those four principles. Maybe you can give us a brief review here for those who are just joining us.
As you talked about the theology of manhood, it also really is the theology of marriage, the whole theology
right.
of the family from God's perspective.
And we noted that Genesis 1 through 12, really, we were talking off the air, is really the foundation for a lot of things.
Yeah, all of the, so much of the theology that we have in the New Testament has its foundation in Genesis 1 through 12.
Right.
And there's so much involved in it. It's no wonder that it is such a point of attack of Satan.
And that is true. I mean, you mentioned anything out of that section, and those are where the attack, Noah, the flood,
right.
Abraham, Adam and Eve, a talking snake, the whole idea of a seven-day creation are just mocked by our society today.
Yeah. And sadly mocked in some circles, even within acceptable Christendom,
right.
regarding the creation, mm-hmm. you know, in 6 days, and then the day of rest. But we see that God gave man responsibility, gave him restriction, then he gave him a relationship, and that's what we're talking about now. And Adam was alone, and it was not good, so God mm-hmm. gave him an earthly relationship. He gave him a helpmeet, one who would complete him. And then we saw, number one, he shall leave. That is, he cannot carry that emotional attachment with his parents into that marriage relationship, and shall cleave. That is the idea that that relationship was to be a permanent commitment. It was not to be something that was to be taken lightly. And we talked about, number one, we say, well, I've lost my love.
Right.
The other reason that is often given, which we did not get into the last broadcast, why do these relationships break? Number one, we talked about, well, I've lost my love. And you remember how we stated that?
Yes.
Well, how do we say that?
That it really becomes an act of our will.
Yeah, loving,
a volitional act.
Yeah, loving is not an emotion. It is an activity of my will.
Mm-hmm.
So if I lost my love, basically what I'm saying is I've lost my desire to continue to give myself to that mate.
I mean, we could really say I've lost my desire to obey.
Yeah, because that was the commitment that was made.
Mm-hmm.
But the encouraging thing is marriage is not over because you lost love. They haven't even started the way they should have yet.
Right.
And that's the encouraging part of all of it. The second reason for breakup often is given as incompatibility.
Right.
Whatever that is. I can tell you how I define incompatibility. It is one selfish person telling another selfish person that I will not give in to your selfish ways. When I'm doing a seminar with a husband and wife, I say, if you want to see incompatibility in action, get permission from your pastor to go to 2-year-old nursery during the morning service,
right.
and you will see incompatibility in action, and you will discover quickly when they have sponge and rubber toys.
Right.
Because if not, there would be 3 911 calls per service.
Right. Or
because,
more.
Because of incompatibility.
Right.
The sad thing is when they're 28, 30, 35 years old, and they're still like kids in a nursery fighting over my toy, my truck, my house, and so on. And so incompatibility is not an excuse.
But it really is a reason that people do give.
Yeah,
I mean,
those are the two I hear most often. I've lost my love, and we're incompatible.
So let's say I'm a listener listening to this broadcast, and I recognize myself in that. I recognize, you know what, I have kind of bought into the idea that I've lost my love for my mate, or I have actually been entertaining the idea that maybe I married the wrong person because we're so different. We're incompatible in all of our ways.
Right.
How would you address that?
Well, number one, I would go back to the vows. What did I commit to do before God and man?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I would redefine what love is in my mind. Because I think when we start feeling this, we find out that we are interpreting love as an emotion, a feeling that can be lost, rather than a commitment that has been made. And when we look at husbands to love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself, that's what we're failing to do.
Right.
We're failing to give ourselves, so basically we turn selfish. So I would examine my selfish quotient to see how much of this is me in my selfishness, mm-hmm. and what part of disobedience has come in. Have I cast off a God-given restriction about my relationship? Have I become enamored in another relationship and I'm giving my emotion to mm-hmm. someone else? There's a difficulty. Some marriages will take the legal obligation. In other words, the husband says, hey, I am taking care of my legal obligation.
Right.
But I've chosen to direct my emotional energy in another direction. So he feels comfortable that, hey, I'm taking care of
providing
my wife legally. But emotionally, she's hollow. Because
right.
he has chosen to transfer his emotion in a different direction.
Where do men mostly transfer those emotions, Doc?
Well, if it's not another woman or someone with whom they become enamored, it is a hobby, it is their garage, it is their race car, it is their bow and arrow, it is their golf game, it is hunting. And none of these things are wrong in and of themselves. But when a woman looks at the pecking order, she wants to know, where do I fit in his order of priorities? And when she sees herself number 4 or 5, it makes her very insecure, because
right.
one of his main goals and roles is to love her even as Christ also loved the church. And so we see these two things normally as to why a marriage relationship would break. So we see God says a man shall leave and shall cleave, and number 3, they shall be one flesh. There mm-hmm. now is a oneness. Now, what is that oneness? I define it threefold. There is a spiritual oneness. That is a holy relationship. Mm-hmm. Where Paul instructed the Corinthians, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So what fellowship hath Christ with Belial? What communion has light with darkness? So therefore, in a marriage relationship, it has to begin with a spiritual oneness.
Mm-hmm.
Where they are both one. But not only that. They must be not only both saved, they must be both committed to grow as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Because you and I both have counseled people who are both saved, and one is not growing or neither is growing. Well, you have lost your basis of solving that relationship because you have the lack of desire to grow spiritually.
Right.
Even though both are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, neither are controlled by the Holy Spirit. And in that context,
that's a powerful statement. Both are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but one or neither are controlled by the Spirit.
And that's where your conflict comes in.
Yeah.
And by the way, when I stand at the altar, I form a legal union.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not presuppose unity. I can take a dog and a cat, tie their tails together over a clothesline. I have formed a union.
Yeah. But, I get the picture.
But that does not presuppose unity.
Right.
And so if we are flawed in the spiritual oneness, we're in trouble.
Then that's where it's got to start then.
Yes. And secondly, I am to be one in soul. And I define the soul makeup as my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Mm-hmm.
It's also interchangeable with the term heart. Let not your heart be troubled.
Right.
Daniel purposed in his heart. So I think it communicates my mind, my will, and my emotion. And that makes a happy relationship. See, why am I happy with my wife? We think alike. We love the same things.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a desire to share and do the same things. But, you know, that's a growing thing. When you marry, you bring two worlds together, two individual lives together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the happiness that my wife and I share is because there is that soul oneness. But that's where the filling of the Holy Spirit is so crucial. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, because that Holy Spirit filling takes place in the soul of man. When I'm saved, my spirit is quickened. So therefore, I'm indwelt by the Spirit. My wife is indwelt by the Spirit. That's a union that we have. That does not mm-hmm. presuppose unity. Unity comes in the oneness of soul as well as the oneness of spirit. Then ultimately, you become one in body, and that is a healthy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
where Hebrews 13 says marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers God will judge. But what we try to do is we reverse that.
I was going
to
say, I can see the reversal. We think, boy, I'm compatible with this person physically. I enjoy a physical relationship. You know, hey, we like the same things, you know, and then that's going to be enough for, you know, a lifelong marriage.
And then work God in later when we're ready to cash
right.
in our chips.
Right.
Then work God in later. Well, that's the opposite, because most of those relationships end up broken. Because when unless I'm willing to reverse and submit myself to God's pattern, it starts out with a physical. Then we try to work out this happiness thing, which comes and goes, and then the spiritual is non-existent.
You know, I see this, and I know you've seen this as a pastor and as one who works with couples, where you have a lady who's maybe getting along in life in her mid-30s and early 40s, and she's just about decided there isn't going to be someone, and then she finds somebody who's not spiritual, but who likes her. And who's a good provider and has a good job, and they have, you know, they like baseball, and they like, you know, they like to eat at the same restaurants. And so, you know, all of a sudden, in order to get what she thinks is going to be a great marriage, you know, the whole relationship is built, as you're saying, backwards instead of, you know, starting with the holy side of it.
And what I've seen many times is I discovered that the woman had submitted herself to the mission field or to Christian work as a teenager at camp.
Interesting.
And then the frustration gets worse and worse because she gets bitter that God is not answering her prayer to the saving of her mate. Why isn't God saving him? I ask, why do you want him saved? Is it to fulfill a vision that you made as a teenager and then you ran ahead of God into this marriage? You may need to resubmit that and say, God, for your glory, I want this man saved. Even if I never get my personal vision fulfilled.
Right.
And at least there's a transference of that trust. Then the fourth thing we see in here, they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And I think this intimacy goes beyond just the physical, but I think the total transparency of spirit, where there was nothing hidden, there's complete open communication, and that's really what Adam and Eve had in the garden.
And the scriptures make it very clear that we have to be guided and controlled by the Spirit. Well, Doc, these principles that you shared with us in marriage certainly apply to every relationship. And so as we leave the air today, let me leave our listeners with the challenge to look over these principles and to see how they fit our life. The principle of severance and permanence and unity and transparency or intimacy. And we look forward to the next broadcast when we look in and study how some of these things were perverted by Satan. Satan always desires to pervert those things. Until then, may the Lord bless you.